This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Friday, June the 7th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today.
According to a mouse study, SMN protein deficiency in SMA may lead to gastrointestinal dysfunction. This is because it shrinks the smooth muscle in the bladder and alters specific cells in the colon. The study was called Smooth Muscle Atrophy and Colon Pathology in SMN-Deficient Mice. It was published in the American Journal of Translational Research. Unlike respiratory weakness, studies of SMA have rarely focused on GI problems. However, these problems are commonly observed in SMA. Besides direct innervation of motor nerve cells to smooth muscle cells, nerve impulses may reach the GI tract through a type of cells called interstitial cells of Cajal, or ICC. These cells are involved in the contraction and stimulation of smooth muscle cells, including those of the colon. Researchers wanted to see if the gut nervous system and ICCs were vulnerable to SMN protein deficiency. A mouse model of SMA was used. They had SMN protein produced at high levels in the brain and spinal cord, low levels in the cardiac muscle, skeletal muscle, kidney, and lower GI tract, and then absent in the upper GI tract, liver, and spleen. They found that mice live longer than those with global SMN deficiency. So, they may be useful in studies of protein restoration in the central nervous system. Measurements in the test showed impaired feces excretion, as well as smaller bladder mass. In contrast, body weight was similar between SMA mice and controls. SMA mice also had smaller smooth muscle fibers in the bladder. This could explain the high rate of urinary incontinence in kids who have SMA types 1 and 2. The data also showed inflammatory cells in the colon. To evaluate whether ICCs are involved in GI muscle impairment in SMA, the researchers analyzed the distribution and abundance of these cells. This was done by detecting a marker known as c-KIT. This assessment revealed not only 50% fewer ICC cells, but also different localization of ICCs in the colon compared with control mice. This suggests that SMN deficiency could lead to a loss of ICC. This makes it similar to the loss of motor neurons in the spinal cord with SMA. SMA therapies must address symptoms beyond those directly related to the central nervous system. This mouse model may be useful to test treatments for those experiencing GI dysfunction with SMA.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Development Manager, Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer, June 4th, 2019. On May 24th, Zolgensma, previously known as AVXS-101, became the second FDA-approved treatment for SMA. This gene therapy from pharmaceutical companies AveXis and Novartis is a major milestone for the SMA community, as it follows Biogen's groundbreaking treatment, Spinraza. The state of medical research for SMA is more advanced than it ever has been, and it's reason to celebrate. Yet, as we think about the implications of living in a post-treatment world, there are things we need to address beyond just research. Specifically, we need to consider the caregiving options that are available to older adults with SMA. When I was diagnosed with SMA in 1995, my parents received the doom and gloom message from the neurologist that was all too common back then. They were told that I had a maximum life expectancy of 18 years, and many of us who live with this condition weren't expected to make it to adulthood. The resources my parents had at their disposal were minimal. It took the assistance of my mom's colleagues at the newspaper she worked for to even discover the existence of a nonprofit organization called Families of SMA, which is now called Cure SMA. Things are radically different today. We are living longer, but unlike infants who can get treated at birth to reduce symptoms, those of us who are adults still must live with the effects of SMA. Yes, many of us are actively receiving treatment, but our disabilities are still there, and they will be for a long time. Therefore, it's time we think about putting our efforts not just into fundraising for medical advancements, but also into helping the adults within the SMA community. Workplace accommodations. I've written before about how those of us with disabilities are more than capable of contributing to the workforce, but that restrictions on our income often make it difficult to do so. We shouldn't have to worry about keeping necessary medical benefits when we apply for jobs. It's a simple matter of principle when we consider people with disabilities equal members of society. As my friend Abby and I were discussing the other night, this is a major issue for adults with SMA, and it deserves more attention. Caregiver access and funding. The other day, my mom and I were talking about Zolgensma on the way to my physical therapy appointment. She remarked that she had never imagined living in a world where it could be commonplace for people with SMA to outlive their parents. Yet, that is a possibility now, and we need to be prepared for it. We need to think about advocating for adults with SMA and other disabilities to have better access to caregivers. Advocacy groups and nonprofits should consider raising funds to pay for caregivers, instead of just focusing on medical research. Healthcare expansion. Before anyone comes at me with a pitchfork, I'm not here to argue for or against universal healthcare. Calm down. By healthcare expansion, I simply mean that as medical research for SMA continues to develop, more doctors and facilities need to be better equipped to treat those of us with SMA. Families and individuals should not have to travel to other states, or in some cases other countries, to receive proper medical care. We're significantly more advanced now than we were 20 years ago, and it's time we educate healthcare professionals about SMA, rather than rely on a small group of experts. It's a remarkable time for the SMA community. At a time when there are 2 FDA-approved treatments, and likely more on the way, we can rejoice. Let's just remember that those of us who are adults have issues that a treatment can't necessarily solve. Side note, when I mentioned the likelihood of people with SMA living longer and outliving their parents, I meant no offense to families who have lost someone recently. I recognize the unfortunate truth that there are still kids with SMA dying in a post-treatment world, and it breaks my heart. I simply wanted to emphasize how far we have come in the past few years. I'm Kevin Schaefer, Community Development Manager for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.